following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Lord, we thank you. We pray that your anointing would come on your word, and everybody says, amen. We've got a couple of verses this morning, Revelation 7:14. I had the privilege to sit under two of Norman Parrish's. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Norman Parrish will be here 2 weeks from today. He hadn't been here in a year. He will be here Sunday after our retreat. So that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be in next week's newsletter. Well, the retreat newsletter and then subsequent. But he will be here 2 weeks from today. I'm sorry? Yeah, Sunday morning. But Norman shared a bunch of things, and the Lord, he shared one verse really stuck out to me, and I just felt impressed to elaborate on that verse. We'll get to it in a minute. But I want to start with Revelation 7:14. I'm sorry. Forgive me. 17:14. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and what? Faithful. Look at 19:14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now let me say something here. Jesus is coming for a bride spotless, and it's not, as many of us assume, that somehow he's going to come for those that are partial. He's coming absolutely, totally, utterly for those that are called, chosen, and faithful. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus is coming back for a bride that's spotless and clean. The Bible says things like, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The Bible says that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God will not forgive you. There is a real deception in the land that people believe that Jesus didn't mean what he says. But it is really clear in the scripture that Jesus is coming back for a certain people, a certain criteria, and the criteria is faithfulness and holiness. Those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. He's not coming for unfaithful. He's coming for the faithful. Had a brother here Friday night, and first time he'd been here, we were talking, myself and him and some other visitors, quite a while. And come to find out, he's recently had a revelation, or what's the word when you get a new revelation? Like, not the rhema, but there's another word, you know, a new enlightening of the deception of eternal security, that somehow making some exception to Jesus and living like you would, you somehow still have a place in. I began to explain to him, and he agreed that reprobation is a real possibility. And I told him, I really believe, I hate to say this, particularly in our culture today, a very, very small percentage of those that go to church, I believe, are going to make it to heaven. Because just based upon Scripture, the average church, you lift the hood, people's lives are full of abominable things. Unbelief, fears, demons, bitternesses, unforgivenesses, that the majority of people walk around presuming and assuming because they did some kind of thing with Jesus, they got a guaranteed back door regardless of how they live. Scripture says otherwise. And what we see here is those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now, here's a passage Norman shared, Psalm 101, that stuck out to me. My teaching this morning is God's eyes are on the faithful. That the Lord is looking for faithfulness. Psalm 101, verse 6, it's interesting, if you read this psalm, the psalmist actually flips the persons where he's talking third person, and then it becomes first person God. This is God speaking. He says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks perfect in the way, he shall serve me. But he that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. That's a powerful scripture. And yet you see that in Jesus' life. He was looking for those who were faithful. Committed. You know, I got to thinking one of the fundamental problems in the body of Christ is not allegiance or the love for the Lord or a lot of things, zeal. The fundamental problem is faithfulness. There are so many that are conditionally faithful or haphazard in their faithfulness and commitment. One of the privileges I saw this week of being in that deliverance conference, seeing a bunch of saints from various places in the country, seeing leaders, it was primarily leader type people. and realizing that God had really blessed these people, given them ministries, but primarily because of their faithfulness. Because they'd been faithful what God had given them, God promoted them and gave them more and prospered and blessed their ministry. One of the speakers was this Puerto Rican preacher from the Bronx named Angelo Rosario. I got to know him a little bit, and he was saved in the 60s, probably around the time Nicky Cruz was saved. He's Puerto Rican in the Bronx. And he has an incredible ministry. I was absolutely amazed. Like, has 120 enormous amount of young people that have gone into the ministry, sent around the world, ministering in deliverance and signs and wonders. Many, many churches. But what I saw in Angelo is there's such a passion and a faithfulness. He's just been faithful to the point, year after year, decade after decade, being faithful to the Lord, and the Lord's blessed his ministry. I've noticed over the years that those that are faithful, God blesses. God gives unto the faithful. In fact, look at Proverbs 20, verse 6. God is looking for the faithful. And it's hard to find faithful men and women. Proverbs 20, verse 6. It's really hard to find people that are faithful. Solomon said, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? It's hard to find people. And that's true. If you're an employer or a boss or someone that has people working under you, most would agree it's hard to find good employees that are faithful. You know, this is an attribute that's very much workable in the world. It's hard to find good people. I remember one time I ran a school for IT&T in downtown Houston. I had 31 employees, 250, 300 students. It's a GED training school back in the 80s. And I had to constantly hire teachers, put out ads back then. You do it in the green sheet, employment section of the Chronicle. I'd be interviewing. I'd get their resumes. And I'd hire. And I remember it was so frustrating, the turnover, the attrition rate, how fast people, because it was hard to find. It was very difficult, by the way, if you ever hired, to determine someone's character based upon a resume and talking to them. You know, it's like anything else. It takes time. How many people I hired and then subsequently it turned out? And the sad thing is, in the liberal culture we're in, you can't just fire like you hire. You have to document. And it's 10 times worse now than it was in the 80s. It's one of the reasons I got out of the business. I literally got out because of the bureaucratic entanglement and the ridiculousness of it. I just went back into sales. I said, I can't handle this. It had its kind of a glory side. I thought, I can't handle the devil was in the details of. But what I remember finding, it was really hard to find good people. And there was this one lady. Her name was Cora. She's a black lady. And she was, at the time when I hired, just really a servant and not raised up much. And real faithful to working in this one branch of the school where we train these kids and these people in their teens and 20s. We call it telephone repair. They were learning to do telephone repair and this lady was real faithful. When I came on board, she was just one of the helpers, kind of one of the employees. But it's interesting that after about a year, it came a time I was going to retire and go back to Control Data Corporation and be in sales. And my regional manager from Indianapolis came down, and we had opened up a brand new office right there in downtown Houston, right on near the Houston One Center, upstairs, big old square footage, large place. And she asked me, she said, well, Chris, you know, I need someone to run the center. You know, I gave him about 2 months' notice or a month notice. And, you know, she just came down. Her name was Jeanette, I believe that's her name, my regional leader. And she said, who do you think would be good? I said, you know, of all my 30-something employees, I said, Cora is the most faithful one I have. So I remember the regional leader interviewed Cora. And Cora was surprised, but it turned out Jeanette came back and says, I think she'll be excellent. Do you know she gave her the managing? She became the manager of the center and handed it over to Cora. In fact, it was funny. At the time, I had an old car I needed to get rid of. I think it was my Honda CVCC. And I had to, I never forget, I sold it to Cora for $1, you know, so there wouldn't be any tax. She needed the car, and I needed to get rid of it, so I sold it to her for $1 and gave her a vehicle. And I'll never forget, Cora, she knew the Lord. But it was such a blessing to be able to refer to my authority, someone that I knew that served in faithfulness. And it was interesting, when my authority interviewed her, she said, she's going to be excellent. And subsequent, they want to re-up with the government grant under Cora. You know, faithfulness is hard to find. It was really a challenge for me of all those employees to find one. I found one. She took the role. Look at Luke 16. You say, well, man, I'd like to be faithful. Well, here's the key. I'm going to tell you something about this scripture. I learned this in the early 70s. One of my pastor and I lived in a Jesus People training center, One Way In Beaumont. This was one of our daily bread scriptures. This scripture was hammered into us almost as much as Hebrews 6:1. This was one of the main scriptures they taught us over and over as new believers. It's in Luke 16, verse 10. I mean, this ought to be required memorization for someone 2 weeks old in the Lord. You ready? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in the much. But he that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? He says, in other words, if you're a cheat and a fudge and you're not faithful and a good steward with your money, you think God's going to bless you with real riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? He's saying, if you're not willing to get up under an authority and be faithful as a servant under authority, who do you think you are to think one day you're going to be a leader? The reason I recognize faithfulness in Korah, because of all my employees, she was the one when I asked her to do something, she did it and didn't argue, didn't complain, was faithful. You know, isn't it a blessing to have a faithful person in your life? You know, faithfulness, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, it says, is like a broken foot or a tooth out of joint. A broken tooth or a foot out of joint. I got them backwards. A broken tooth or a foot out of joint. That's confidence in an unfaithful man. You know what that means? If you got a broken tooth, that thing's bugging you all the time. Your tongue keeps going to it, right? If your foot's out of joint, no matter where you go, you're thinking about it. You know, if you're putting confidence in someone that's not faithful, you keep thinking, are they going to do it? Did they come through? Am I right? But confidence in somebody faithful, you cast your vote. I tell you one thing I'll say about Bo Fisher. He's not here. But he's the penultimate faithful man. And I've been privileged. He's not on staff anymore. But all the years he was, you know, I'd say, Bo, we need this. He would write it down. And, you know, 2 weeks later, he'd be doing it. That's a faithful man. And, you know, God's blessing him and God's promoting him. And there's an anointing in his life. I'll tell you, those guys up there recognize. And he's been faithful with that, which is another man's. Guess what? God's going to give him that which is his own. What a blessing that is. And Jean's the same way. Praise God. She is. Faithful lady. So what's the answer? The answer is, you want to be faithful? He that's faithful in the little is faithful in the much. Somebody says, well, when I get to be a boss, or when I get an authority, I'll be faithful. He that's faithful with the unrighteous man. When I get a lot of money and get a raise, I'll start tithing. I beg to differ. What's in your pocket now? If all you got's $10, if you're not faithful with what you have, don't kid yourself you're going to be faithful down there. In fact, God looks at the little to determine the much. If you're faithful with the little things, God will grant you more. I had someone, a young believer, once asked me, he said, well, how did you end up having this ministry? You know, where God's open door to all these things you taught and blah, blah, blah. And you know, I told him, I said, I did not engineer any of this. I didn't plan any of this. None of this was I didn't pursue any of this. I didn't seek any of this. All I knew was when I was young in the Lord, I loved the Lord and I learned to be faithful to those who told me what to do under authority. Whether it's the first church I was at, there was like 35 young people being trained under the word. When it was time to have the first evangelistic outreach to go with one of the teachers to Newport News, Virginia, and minister, they picked me, the first one of the whole bunch. And I thought, why? I wasn't particularly anointed. I particularly was totally, utterly full of myself. But the reason they picked me was I just sat on the front row all the time and did what I was told. And when I'd get up and teach, I would share what was being taught, not my own personal revelation. And therefore, Doug Westmoreland, the pastor, knew, well, if anything, if I send Chris up, I know he's not going to go start his own denomination up there. You know what I'm saying? He could trust me. Now, they had to kick me back down again because of my ego, pride, stupidity, granted. The souffle was still not quite done. It was a little presumptuous to send me up, and they kicked me back down again. Then I had to come over here to Houston and not teach at all for 7 years. Kind of break some stuff. But I learned that principle. I got to this new church. Episcopal. I sat on the front row there. Man, I'm going to fill this front row after this teaching. I sat on the front row in church. I sat on the front row, and I looked, and I took notes, and I wanted to be part of what was going on. I was trying to be faithful. And you know what? God raised me up near the end of my stay there. I was in the pastoral council leadership thingy, whatever that is. I went over to church in the city, sat in the front row. You know, God blessed me there. But I'll tell you, it's a principle. What's God telling you to do right now? Let me tell you the secret of everything. What's God telling you to do right now in your life? You know, men, I think it's Psalm 75 says, promotion comes neither from the east to the north or the west, but God lifts up one and sets down to another. It's not men that promote you, it's the Lord. If men promote you, it ain't the Lord, you'll be demoted. But when the Lord's behind it, you'll stay at that place. God, we all want to be lifted up and with more greater responsibility in the Spirit, but what are you being faithful with now? What are you faithful with? Are y'all hearing me this morning? One more place. One more place, and then we're going to close. Galatians 6. You know, I know Norman affirmed this ministry this weekend in Hot Springs. When he got up, he shared about his ministry in Guatemala and his outreach. And he talked about the blessing it is of those that gave. And he talked about how Lake Hamilton gave. And so, and in turn to Chris, he says, and Chris's ministry has been giving. Do you know we have been giving faithfully every month for 21 years to that ministry? How many of y'all know that's a blessing to Norman? 21 years we give faithfully month after month. You know, when you're out on the mission field and you get givings, there are certain people, you know, the faithful ones we can depend on. We can actually plan a budget based upon the faithful ones that we know. And he told me once, he said, and I've never been in the position he's in. I traveled with him once across the Northeast United States, went to many churches to support him. And he was telling me, it's like anything else. In their budgetary design every month, they knew a certain amount of income would come faithfully. Then there was the quasi-faithful, then the intermittent, then the, well, what do you know? You hear what I'm saying? And so they would budget accordingly. But what a blessing to have faithful. You know, this church, I want to tell you, the income of this church is really a blessing. I was telling somebody about that. I said, you know, God has really blessed our income at our church. I said, if you look at it at first glance, you look around and go, well, okay. But you know what I realized? Is some of the guys here and gals that give very well, they came in here, let's just say broke, parking cars, loading trucks, you understand, hardly any income. And one of my burdens in the very beginning has been, hey, go make the most of your life. You know, God's given you life. Nothing wrong with going to college. You know, perfect the giftings you have. Don't make it an idol. But go and do well for yourself. It's okay. The Bible says that you can have to give. And you know, the result of that is, after many years, there's a foundation of support in this work of people that are completely committed to it because it's so radically changed their lives. And you want to know, there's a scripture I can show you where there were certain ones that supplied Jesus. I think it's in Luke 7. Where certain ones supplied Jesus' ministry. It says they gave of their substance, many are from whom he cast out devils. Isn't that interesting? When you get deliverance, you have an appreciation and you support a ministry. It's faithfulness. And finally, in Galatians 6, it's the key to everything, guys, faithfulness. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he'll reap. If you sow intermittent faithfulness, guys, you will reap intermittent faithfulness. If you're waiting on the Lord to come through, remember the passage, his eyes are on the faithful. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that is a culture-changing verse. If you got to look real careful at that verse, read it about 10 times, and one day it'll dawn on you what it's saying. It reaps life everlasting. Eternal life is not guaranteed. And that flies in the face of virtually everything you've heard. Eternal life is now. I am the resurrection life. He that believes on me has eternal life. It's not some future guarantee. It is now. Eternal life is a present reality. As you're faithful to the Lord and you seek the Lord, you have eternal life. It's not something you can stick in your back pocket, do your own thing, and think you got a door into eternity. He says, "Woe, depart from me, you workers of iniquity." So it's all about faithfulness, because he comes again with the called, chosen, and faithful. And I've tried to model that. In fact, Paul tells that to Timothy. If you read in the book of 1 Timothy, how many times he told Timothy as a young man, be a model for the believers. You know, in word, in doctrine, in manner of life. Model these things. You know, people, just like a parent, your kids, how many of y'all found out your kids don't do what you say, they do what they see? I'm going to say that again. Your kids don't do what you say, they do what they see. Hello? It's the same thing in the kingdom. If you're a koinonia leader here, the people in your koinonia group aren't going to do what they say, they're going to do what they see. Your credibility is directly related to your consistency in what being faithful to what you say. That's what they do. The rope is shorter for a pastor. They don't do what they say, do what they see. I try to be honest. I try to be out front. I try to be vulnerable. I try to be faithful with what God's given me. And try to model it. I'll be held accountable. Parents, you're going to be held accountable. But the blessing is to, like I said, in my early years, and to emblazon this in your spirit, guys, one of the most important verses to know as a Christian is Proverbs 3:5. Is it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Y'all know that one. John 3:16. And what is it? Luke 16. What is that? 7? What was that verse I gave you? He that's faithful, and it's the key to everything. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning you'll just make us wise. Because I know this is what you're looking for. And I know there are, for whatever reason in our life, at times inconsistencies, lapses. Lord, we can't be trusted and entrusted because of our ups and downs. Father, help us to be faithful. Bring conviction, Lord Jesus, that the faithfulness that you've shown to us, we would be able to show to others and those that trust and can entrust to us, Father, the true riches of the kingdom, the privilege to minister your word, to oversee your saints. Lord, I pray in this church you will increase our faithfulness in our lives, O Lord. Increase the number of people that can be trusted and entrusted and released in ministry opportunities. Lord, I do know that you want to open doors for me. That was witnessed to me this week, that you're going to open doors, but I believe not just for me, that those doors that open for me will be open for those in this work that have been proven faithful. Lord, that others could come and manifest the same spirit of anointing that's in my life because of their faithfulness, Lord. We bless you. Let's give thanks to him this morning. If there's any area in your life unfaithful, just confess it to him. Say, Lord, forgive me. I tend to be a reed and blown in the wind at times. Forgive me, Lord. Put my roots down by the river of living water, that whatever the season, summer, winter, fall, or spring, I'll continue to bear fruit. That when others look at me, they know there's one I can trust. There's one that'll be true to his word, faithful in the Lord. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Go in peace in Jesus' name.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.